The text is the gospel reading, John 4, 5 through 26. Woke refers to being alert to how racism, sexism, poverty, gun violence, and homophobia are supposedly systemic in U.S. society. Well, we're waking the woman at the well. And you are aware, aren't you, that there are two meanings to the verb woke. If we woke her in the 21st century social justice sense, this is how it would go. Jesus would applaud her for her serial monogamy. You've had five husbands, and that's a real accomplishment. One tried to smother you. One tried to move you away from your family. One wouldn't let you work outside the home. One was in favor of Roman rule. One died, and one just up and left. Truth is, we don't know the circumstances of her marriages. But in the famed words of Duck Dynasty's Phil Robertson to college friend Terry Bradshaw when they met in an airport 40 years after playing college football together, Phil says to Terry, "After four marriages, you probably should ask yourself, did I have something to do with their failing?" But we're waking the woman 21st century style, and divorce is a good thing, an empowering thing. As long as the woman or the man thinks so, that is. And living together, well, that's even better. In 21st century, Jesus is pleased this woman has at last realized this. Marriage is an outdated social contract designed to keep women second-class citizens. She's better off without it. Being open-minded, being broad-minded, being big tent religion, that's being woke. You worship on this mountain in Samaria, and the Jews, well, they worship in Jerusalem. It's all good. As long as your religion is true for you, that's what counts. You worship whomever, wherever, and however you want, girl. There's no revelation saying that this or that object of or way to worship is true. Who am I, our 21st century Jesus says to this five-time divorcee, fornicating woman, who am I to say you Samaritans are wrong for discarding all but the first five books of the Old Testament? You go, girl. You would be led by the Spirit that you feel, that you believe, that frees you to believe whatever you like. But our waking of this woman would not be complete if we didn't hear Jesus making her seeker sensitive. He sure would not tell her that the Father seeks worshipers. No, no, no. See, that's pre-World War II Christianity. The modern man seeks God. Everyone by now ought to be woke to that fact. Since they all do seek God, don't you go rubbing their faces in their sins with the law. Don't go putting roadblocks to faith by insisting on the historic creeds or by saying that I believe the Bible is not enough of a confession. Don't do that. That turns away seekers. Now our woman at the well is woke in the bright light of our 21st century. However, if this is true, she is woke in the second sense of that verb, wake. That is to hold a vigil beside someone who has died. Because if Jesus had left her in her sins of divorce, living together, and false worship, she would be dead in her trespasses and sins. If he left her in the belief that there was no one true faith, Samaritans can believe this, Jews can believe that, her religious opinions would continue to lead her to the worshiping of what he says she didn't know. Jesus did not wake her in the 21st century way, or in the second sense of that verb. He woke her in the first century. First, he seeks her. She is a pariah in her own community. Or do you suppose that a woman on her sixth man, five husbands in, wasn't regarded as a home wrecker in the first century? Why is she at the well at a time when the other women aren't there to get their water and to socialize? And Jesus shows he is woke to the racism between Jews and Samaritans, and he is not a part of it. She wonders aloud, how can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink? Virtually all the translations take "for Jews do not associate with Samaritans" as a parenthetical explanation by John, but you could take that as the woman's explanation. She's well aware that Jews literally have no use for things in common with the Samaritans. But Jesus reaches out to her in the darkness as if there's no divide, no wall, no judgment. Jesus then wakes her to her spiritual need using a physical one. The trip to the well was a daily necessity for most women. She tries to avoid the other woman, but she can't always. Every day it's a decision. Do I go now or later? Now or later? Who will or won't I see? Think I'm making too much of this? Well, can't you hear the longing, if not desperation, in her voice when she responds to Jesus being able to give the water of eternal life? "Sure, sir," she says, "give me this water." Why? "So I won't get thirsty and have to come here to this dreaded place where the judgmental, resentful women confront me to draw water ever again." Now, how does Jesus respond to her face upturned to the gospel? He shoves it right in the dirt. Jesus responds, "Go call your husband and come back." What? What's this talk of a husband? Where did that come from? From the woman's sin and guilt that she carried all alone right up till now. Secret sins, private guilts are like cockroaches. You try to swat them and they scurry to hide. And so this woman scurries from her private sins and personal guilts to hide in the publicly disputed religious question about the right place to worship. Jesus has none of that. In quick succession, Jesus blows away the religious truths that she banks on. "You Samaritans worship what you don't know. Salvation is from the Jews." Remember, she has just identified Jesus as a Jew. "And the Father is seeking worshipers, not at a particular place." The woman is quite woke now. She collapses everything into the Messiah, into the Christ coming. You know what this is? This is Quinn the Eskimo finally arriving. Everybody's in despair, every girl and boy, but when Quinn the Eskimo gets here, everybody's going to jump from joy. Now, maybe you're not familiar with that 1968 Bob Dylan tune, but here instead the title track of "Jesus Christ Superstar" fading ever louder. She asserts when Christ comes, he will explain everything to us. She uses the Greek word Jesus will use three times in John 16 for the Spirit's work of taking the things Jesus wins for sinful humanity and revealing them to them. Everybody wide awake now? The woman's about to be. You'd see the symmetry of this if the text started with verse 4 instead of 5. That verse says, "It was necessary for Jesus to pass through Samaria." It was necessary for him, not them, the disciples traveling with Jesus. There was no physical necessity to do this. You could get from Galilee to Jerusalem without going through Samaria. There is a spiritual necessity to do this. The word "necessary" is attached to Jesus suffering and dying in place of sinners. All the Gospels use it that way. Matthew 16:21, "From the time that Jesus began to show his disciples that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem to suffer many things." Mark 8:31, Luke 9:22 use the same word to say the same thing. The holy God-man suffering, damning, dying, and being raised are all divinely necessary to redeem fallen humanity. In this first year of Jesus doing that, another necessity of the God-man is to seek and wake this benighted, bedeviled woman at the well. And woke she is, and she lands on Jesus. When Christ comes, everything will be all right. Then Jesus says, "Ego eimi." The insert and most everyone else translates that Greek, "I who speak to you am he." Well, that gets the point across, but not the spiritual poetry or power. Here is Jesus' literal response. Says to her, the Jesus, I am the one who speaks to you. The great I am of Exodus 3, Yahweh, the name of God, the name of the God of promise and salvation in the Old Testament, stands in the flesh speaking with her. He's not only saying he's the Christ she is waiting for, but that the Christ is none other than Yahweh, none other than the Lord. If you've ever seen in the flesh a famous person, it's a big deal. You'll probably never forget it. We could have a get-together here at church where we did nothing but share our stories of the famous people we've seen or met. We may have seen them dozens of times on TV or the big screen, but nothing's to be compared to seeing them in flesh and blood. And right here is the poverty of all Protestantism. They are not woke to seeing the flesh and blood of Christ in 21st century time and space. Oh, they may sprinkle their babies or adult believers with water, but they don't see this as sprinkling them with the very blood of Jesus. And they pass down their aisles bread and probably grape juice, but it's no more than a pitcher, no more than a reminder to them of him. For us, we're women at the well. Jesus is here again this morning in the flesh. He gives to you in the flesh. He gives to us as bread. He's here giving us the water of life in wine that he gives to us as his blood. But if you're really wide awake, you're woke to the problem the woman at the well also had. She's confronted by the God who gets tired, thirsty, and hungry. He promises the water of eternal life, and look at him. Yes, look at him. He comes to you today in plain-looking water, promising to forgive your sins, rescue you from death and the devil, and to give you everlasting life. Where? In water. He invites you, take, eat, take, drink. This bread is my body given into death on the cross for your sins. This wine is my blood shed there to cover your sins. We don't hear at this point Jesus Christ superstar. We hear coward of the county. That is until the resurrection, which is the equivalent of the coward of the county showing his real bravery by stopping and locking the door. But this is not yet Easter. This isn't the exaltation of the man Jesus. The text is still in the time of his humiliation, where Jesus does not fully use his divine powers as a man in order to take our place under the law and suffer the punishments of sin we deserve. Had Jesus not hidden his deity, water would have sprang from the rocks to give drink to the Creator present in the flesh, even as it did in the Old Testament church in the wilderness. And had that happened, Jesus wouldn't have suffered as sinners deserve, but we would. But it didn't happen, and he did suffer. And now, wide awake in the 21st century, we're back to the first. And we see, we're the woman at the well. Jesus comes here for me today. He comes not in terrors as the King of Kings, but in kind words, gentle waters, with healing in his body and blood. Though five men, five women, or five circumstances may have tossed us aside, though we're scorned by others for our sins and sinfulness, Jesus says, wake up. The nightmare of unforgiven sin, looming death, and harrowing devil is over in me. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, and a life everlasting. Amen.